Next on News for the Soul, Wolf Wellness with Kelly Wolf. Kelly is a clairvoyant, sound therapist, and acupuncturist. Her goal is to educate her clients about the frequency-based reality we live in, thereby empowering them to shift, heal, and enrich their lives through their own personal power. Please welcome Kelly Wolf back to News for the Soul.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. I'm so glad to have you all here. Today, my guest is Chris Duchak. She is the owner and visionary of Clarity, and Clarity is a really, really wonderful metaphysical tea shop here in Edmonton. She is an intuitive matriarch with a passion for all things that help people show up fully in their lives. She has attracted a circle of gifted intuitives, thought leaders, spiritual directors, healers, and creative geniuses, which many call the vortex of magic in Edmonton. Chris has a passion for spiritual and emotional health and all things that promote the development of fulfilling relationships. She helps soul searchers remove the blocks and limitations in their lives by providing spiritual direction. A calm, claircognizant, clairsentient presence to everyone that comes into her shop. She is there every day and guides people to the resources they need most. And one of her visions is in children's education and emotional health. Her goal is to help them and the parents develop their intuitive and God-given gifts to open them up to all possibilities. She hosts children's magical fairs throughout the year, which I've been a part of, and they are absolutely amazing. So welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you for being on today.
You're welcome.
So what would you like to talk about today? What's the subject you'd like to bring up?
Well, I think in this line of work, we get a lot of people that come in and they're just looking for the answer, like the be-all, end-all, that, you know, this has to happen and it can't happen any other way. And so, like, the fortune-telling part of it, right? And what I really want to talk about is how people are co-creators, and what their life looks like is up to them. You know, there's certain things that are destined to happen, but how they occur and what it looks like and your experience in life is really up to you.
Yes, does that make sense? I love that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. I love that. That is my favorite subject, empowering the person into knowing that they create their reality and how to create what they want. Yeah. So what are some, like, tips you would give someone?
Well, I think people have to start looking at the language that they use. I know that most people don't understand that words are power. Words are like spells and prayers that you're casting out into the world. And those people like yourself, clairvoyant, who can actually see, they can see the effects of these things on people, right? And if you're going to speak, make sure you're speaking life and not death. So when we speak of ourselves and we speak of other people, we want to speak well, not, you know, not well, because you're sending that energy out and that's going to attach itself to that person. You know, it's just going to amplify whatever bad trait or whatever it is that they have, you know. So if you want them to be better, then say better things, you know. I think that's
100%.
Important. Yeah.
It is so important. You know, they call that spell casting, right, when you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I find that, you know, you change your words and then, or you at least work to change your words. You're aware mm-hmm. of of what words you're putting out there, the power, the frequency you're putting out there. And then when you start changing those words, your thoughts will follow, and then your beliefs will follow as well. So,
yeah.
And then when that changes, your whole reality changes, right? So if you can go
exactly.
to the more positive, you can change your reality. Yeah, 100%. So,
yeah.
So have you had an experience that you can share either with yourself or with a client who has had a shift or a change?
Yeah. Well, I remember actually, you know, not being aware, you know, when I started doing this work, and not being aware of the effect of the words coming out of people's mouths. One I can think of was cast towards me, and that was when I had a divorce. And I went to a natural healer, and he was pulling vile of energetic curses off of me. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So my ex-husband was speaking not nice about me, because I was trying to make him, you know, finalize the paperwork and everything. So him and his girlfriend were not saying nice things about me and cursing me. So, you know, like, I wish you were dead and things like that. Like, those are curses. And they actually can actually physically affect somebody. Like, my body was, you know, I was getting lumps in my body and things like that. And after I had the work done, I could feel them deteriorating, like going down. And by the time I left, I didn't have those lumps. So, you know, that's an important lesson. You know, that's when I really started paying attention to, you know, those words that were spoken. And I can think of how I affected someone. It's not only the spoken word. The spoken word is really powerful, but our thoughts, right? I didn't understand that how powerful my thoughts were. I thought they were just mine when I was pregnant with my son and my second son. And my first son was about 7 months old, and I really didn't want to be pregnant. Like, you know, my husband and I were having difficulties, and I still hadn't got over the first pregnancy. And I was thinking to myself, oh, I wish I wasn't pregnant. You know, it would be so much easier. And then when my son was born and he was little, I couldn't understand why he wouldn't go ask his friends to play. And then, you know, as I started doing this work, I'm like, oh my God, I made him feel like he was rejected. So he doesn't even want to go ask people, right, to play. So all of these things are really affecting people in, you know, real time. It's just that we don't always see the effects right away.
True, so true.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the coin, though, right? So I'm going to challenge you a little bit. So on the other side of the coin,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course, you know, you were in that situation with your ex-husband, and you know, with all mm-hmm. the negative words coming your way. But mm-hmm. how was it that you allowed that to attach to you? So what was going on with you that it was able to attach to you? Because remember, nothing shows mm-hmm. up in our reality without our permission, conscious or unconscious, right?
Yeah, so I wasn't aware of the work and what it was, right? So all of that work, you know, I hadn't started looking into why I felt the way that I did, like, you know, subconsciously not feeling value, not feeling, you know, that I was worthy is probably what attached them to me, right? But back then, like I said, I wasn't conscious of him even doing it or the effects of it. So it's once you realize that, then you can shift it, right? And you can start doing the work.
Right, right. Yeah, and I guess my point was, you know, we all need to be very careful not to point fingers or blame,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
oh, yeah.
because we have the power to shift it, not the mm-hmm. other party, right? Yeah, but
right.
it is interesting. You're so right about the words. So
mm-hmm.
so what's a way, because I think about, you know, myself when I was younger, and you know, maybe some things that I did or said that I wished I wouldn't have, right? So now
mm-hmm.
it's out there in the time-space continuum. So now, and of course we have our moments throughout the day as well, where we're not perfect, right? Like, what is your advice on how to transmute that energy?
Well, I mean, at the end of every day, I mean, you can call back the energy that you gave out, right? And call it back to yourself. Mm-hmm. And the energy that people sent to you, you can send it back to them. You can do that by speaking it, by, you know, intending it, by praying it. You can do all kinds of things to clear yourself at the end of the day and cleanse yourself. You can cancel, clear, delete, you know, that statement. I'm sorry, I take that back. I mean, there's many different practices and different things work for different people, right? It's all about your belief system at the end of the day. Like, are you really believing that these things are occurring even though you can't see the effects, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's like your kitty cat, right? Like
For those of you listening, I was babysitting Kelly's cat, and he likes to go for jaunts outside, which, you know, he's an awesome kitty, and he didn't come back, and I was extremely worried and upset and driving around the neighborhood looking for him and not even remembering, you know, the fact that we all have the power to actually manifest things. So my worry, my being upset probably wasn't helping the situation, but then we had a mentor remind us of, you know, talking to the cat and telling him where to come home and doing things etherically, you know, in the unseen realm. And then he showed up at 5:30 in the morning, right? You know, like, this is how things work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. So true. That was a perfect example of creating what you want to see and being calm and positive. It's huge. All right. So can you talk about, like, the kids, as far as, you know, what you would like children and parents of children, of course, to understand about that, you know, like some analogy or some way that the kids can really embody it and learn how to do it?
Well, I think it's really important for the parents to allow the children to speak their truth. And allow them to express themselves so they feel safe enough to actually speak the words and say the words and you know, correct them when they need to be corrected, when they're sending things out that aren't okay. Example I had in the store was we have these little magic wands, right? And this little girl came in and she picked the wand up and she's pointing it at people and she's like, I curse you. And I'm like, that's not what the wand is for. The wand is for blessing. You want to bestow good things on people, not hurt them, right? So, I mean, it's important to teach them the difference between the two and encourage their gifts to come forward and allow them to play, because that's how children learn, is to play. And, you know, parents, it's difficult when you have a child who comes in with gifts, especially to parents who have never been exposed to that. So then I would encourage those parents to seek out, you know, help in that area. You know, what do I do with a child that, you know, is remembering a past life or says that he was an airplane pilot in World War II? Like, what do I do with that, right? So if you're not sure, then seek out the resources. There's so many resources out there for people to look at things and how to handle them. But most of all, I think it's like, believe the child. Believe that they're actually experiencing these things, right? I think that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I would have had some of those, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When
yes.
you were little.
Yes. Very much. Yeah. My parents were lovely, lovely people. My mom, I remember, told me that I was psychic, and I was so young, I didn't understand the word. I asked her what that word meant. And mm-hmm. she she described it to me, but I didn't really understand it. And I just went on and played and just, you know, acted, you know, just did whatever a kid does. And, you know, my parents were so lovely and so supportive and loving, but they never knew what to do with me. And so, you know, I learned how to push it all aside and just live my life, and that's fine. You know, would I have, if I had explored those gifts a little more, would I be a different person? Perhaps, but no regrets at all. I had very loving, loving, supportive parents, so no regrets. But yeah, I think that there are so many little kids now who are coming into this incarnation who are so incredibly gifted. I mean, I think anyone who's out there listening to the show who's been exposed to a lot of these young ones coming in understand how incredibly gifted they are. They're almost like an adult in a child's body. They know things that they've never been exposed to. And, you know, and this is the definitely the time, especially when they're young, to really educate them on their gifts and on how reality actually works. Right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And especially, you know, like we do things here like human design, which I find extremely a valuable resource, not only for us as, you know, an individual, but for families and understanding your child. You know, when you get their human design done, you can see what type of areas they would kind of be suited for or what or how to handle them. So, like, an example is if your child is a generator, you know, when you want them to go to bed at night, you have to tire them out. Because if you don't tire them out, they're going to be up bouncing around and, you know, misbehaving and all kinds of things. So you want to put them in sports. You want to get them really, really active. Whereas a child who's a projector, that's the total opposite for them, right? They need the calm and the peace and the quiet in order for them to settle, right? So, I mean, understanding your design or your child's design will help you navigate life much easier. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. I'm a projector, so I can relate to that. Absolutely. Human design is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Especially the deeper you go into it, into your design, you can go to so many different aspects of it. It is amazing. I think that is essential. If you have a child, go and get their human design reading done, and you can understand the dynamics of how the, you know, if you have other kids in the family, how they work together and how you can work with them in a much healthier way. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, we have all of these tools at our disposal. Like now there's all kinds of things being created, you know, like there's in Edmonton here, they have Glow Kids Yoga, right, you know, which is yoga specific for kids or body movement and learning to dance, because not everybody goes into meditative states or things like that by, you know, sitting and meditating. Some people actually go into it by moving meditation, so by doing things, right, and then they enter that state.
Absolutely.
It's so important to let them play and find that for themselves, right? And for yourself, right? Lots of people don't know how to play anymore. So
yes. Well, you know, it's interesting. We take these little kids, and when they're before they start school, it's all about play and having fun and making friends and experiencing the outdoors and games. And there's so much right brain. And then we put them in school and the right brain is turned off and the left brain is turned on. I don't want to say the right brain is completely turned off, but that just seems to be the trend. As a child grows older, it's more and more left brain, more memorizing, more exams, more tests, more homework. And it takes away that right brain. And the right brain is how you connect to your higher self, which is where you really are. That's where all the inspiration, all the ideas, that's where the true intelligence lives. So, for sure, I think more right brain, more music, more dance, more fun, more activity. Asking a child to sit in a chair for 6 hours and listen
exactly.
to somebody speak. Even adults can't even do that. I remember when I was in acupuncture school, my gosh, that was just torture for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chris, I know that you really are working on, you know, some programs, and, you know, you would really eventually, of course, love to have some sort of a facility to where the kids can go and learn. Like, if you could pick, like, your, like, one course or one class for the kids, what would it be? Tell me about what you'd like to do for the kids.
Well, I think that it would be about learning about energy, you know, and about and about the power of their words. I think those are the two most important things for them to understand when trying to, you know, co-create their world, and being connected to the divine and staying connected to the divine and not letting other people imprint on them as to, you know, who they should be and what they want in the world and things like that, you know. I think about, you know, fathers who, you know, want their son to grow up to be an NHL hockey player. Well, you know, maybe if he's physically gifted, he might do that, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's destined to, you know, be a great computer engineer, you know, and develop new programs or AI or whatever it is. But, you know, you have to allow the child to become that which they are meant to. And I think that all starts with them understanding not only energy, but the words. And I think not just the kids, but the parents have to learn along with the kids so that they can take it home and support the child at home, you know? Like, I don't know how many parents know exactly what their children are learning outside of the home, but I mean, these are really important concepts for not only the kids but the parents to learn.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's the first line of education for them. Is that's where the nurture nature starts, and of course teachers in school as well. I mean, I know a lot of teachers are limited as to what they're allowed to teach or what they're allowed to say in some of the schools, unfortunately. But hopefully the near future, that will completely change. I look forward to that. These kids are far too intelligent to hold back.
So. Yeah, I think a lot of parents are starting to homeschool their children, right, versus putting them into the system. And then what's happening is, they need alternative programs, right, to bring their kids to. And I think that's where, you know, someplace like this could fill in a niche and help them in that area, right? A lot of people, like adults, are just waking up themselves, right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's hard for them to be raising a child when they're just waking up themselves because they get busy once you have a child, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because you think about like a child and the beliefs that they have, like a limiting belief, and that usually comes from either, you know, whatever they're exposed to at whatever age that comes in. And one really big one is that you cannot make a living at doing something that makes you happy, or don't follow your passion because you're never going to make money at it. And you know, what we need to teach them are the laws of abundance. Abundance is always flowing in, so that belief is just going to block it. But as soon as you get rid of that belief, it just flows. It's you know, I was so lucky to have parents who were exactly the opposite. They always told me to follow my passion, and I did.
Yeah.
And so I was so fortunate to have that. Hey, Chris, can you talk about, you know, what inspired you to start the tea shop?
Well, the tea shop was actually kind of part of a healing journey for me. So we talk about being in codependent relationships, and I was so far away from who I was that it didn't matter if it was a friendship, a business partnership, an intimate relationship. It always seemed to have that codependent dynamic to it. And then I was not only doing it at home, but at work. So it was like a constant theme. So, I mean, when you do it and you separate business from personal, then you have the chance to develop relationships which are not codependent. So that was a really big thing for me. And I had a lot of work that I did before I started because a lot of it was discovering gifts and the fact that what had wounded me in my early years and what was happening as I was going through these relationships, a lot of the difficulties were because of my gifts and because of not understanding them. So it was kind of like, well, I don't want anybody else to go through this. Like, how do I, you know, how do I make sure that people don't have to go through these experiences and are allowed to express their gifts? Because even my brother, right, my poor brother, who is was a Pisces and extremely sensitive and had the cognition of feeling, and he was always, you know, so crying or, you know, feeling everything so deeply, right? And we just didn't have the upbringing. So for me, I mean, that was kind of the thing. How do I support people, you know, who are either codependent or, you know, wounded with their gifts to actually embrace them and create a safe space for them to do that? And what happened was I was offered an opportunity to collaborate or help Callie, who had a tea shop here, and we were just going to go in and start doing readings for a little bit, but then that kind of sort of didn't work out because the landlord there wasn't cooperating. So then I kind of struck out on my own and opened this shop, and it's just kind of expanded to where, you know, we do workshops and we have all kinds of events, like you're one of our wonderful practitioners who come in and do a sound bath for us. And, you know, it's just kind of evolved from the moment I opened the door. But it makes me really happy when people tell me how safe they feel and how, you know, seen, and how they're able to talk about these things that they couldn't tell anybody else, you know, what they were seeing, what they were feeling. People with near-death experiences talking about them for the first time, and they're 60 years old and they've never told anybody before. So, I mean, these are kind of the purposes and the reasons and, you know, what drives it, is to try and provide that safe space for people to evolve, right?
Yes, and for those of you who are in Edmonton and you have not been to Clarity, please, please come. It's such a wonderful place. They have so many amazing workshops there. They have incredible readers. When I want to get a reading, that's where I go. Chris is one of the readers as well. They have aura, they have aura readings or the aura photos, very cool. They have human design, you name it, they have it. Palm reading, like you name it, body work as well. And a reflexologist there. I mean, just it's such an amazing, amazing place. And they also have a new service called the Anya Light. I've done it. It's pretty incredible.
The Ajna Light.
The Ajna. Sorry, did I say Anya? The Ajna.
Yeah, that's okay. No worries. Yeah. We have that, and then we also have a neuroacoustics person coming in once a month to do biotuning, which is something new. It's like brain entrainment. So it's quite cool because it can – you can train your brain to get out of that fight or flight and actually train it to start responding and going out of it and back in like it's supposed to, right? Not getting stuck in there, which is quite cool.
Yes, and I have done that, and it is amazing. And what I love about your shop is it's not only just readings and wonderful tea, but it's all about healing as well, not on not just an emotional but a physical level. It's such a wonderful place. So
thank you, Kelly.
I am grateful that you opened Clarity.
We're so grateful to have clientele like you as well, and you know, we're trying to create a hub or a community here, right? So that people do feel supported and seen for who they truly are, right? You know, like, it's like, what is it you call yourself, the weirdo or something? I can't remember. You gave yourself a tagline. I'm like, that is so true. How people
feel. the ambassador of the weird. Yeah.
So, but that's truly how people feel who have this stuff, right? And then I think about the people that we get to that are so wounded by dogma, you know, and the church, and whose relationship with God and the divine is so bad, you know. It's like it's all been twisted. Like they have these mystic gifts, but they've been told they're bad and they're evil and they're bad. And, you know, like it's all through the Bible that, you know, John was gifted, had visions, you know, like all of it is in there. So I think it's really important, you know, when you want to look for a space that you know that you can come here and be heard and supported, you know, it's very important. These are meant to help us discern and get through life, you know. That's why we're gifted them. So I want to talk a little bit about like maybe some of the different types of events and things that we hold. Like right now there's a workshop starting this weekend, which is an intro into tarot. So for people that want to learn to do tarot or want to learn to do pendulums and things like that, we offer these types of classes. And then there is also a support at the end of the month, I think the 25th we're running it, where you can come and you can play with tarot with some of the readers and other people learning. So it's a safe space. It's not like you have to go and ask somebody and worry about being judged because you're trying to read tarot, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
I think that should take off and people should really enjoy that. Mm-hmm.
That is brilliant. That definitely takes the pressure off having the continued support for them. That's great.
Exactly. And then, you know, the healing part of it, like we're lucky to have you as a practitioner come in here and do sound baths, which are so wonderful. You know, like we've combined them many different ways, right? Like we've had sound bath by itself and sound bath and breath work and sound bath and yin yoga and Reiki and sound bath and cacao ceremony, and like there's been so many different combinations, but sound is frequency, and you do such a wonderful job of explaining it to the clientele and having them go through that journey and actually have some profound shifts and experiences. And I just think it's wonderful that we have people like you that come in and do these types of services for our clients.
Well, thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it. But for me, you know, clarity is a place that I look to just for to fill my cup. You know, being a practitioner, you kind of forget to maintain yourself. So clarity is such a wonderful place personally for me to just go and reset myself and not doing workshops just for me. I can't say enough good things about it.
Well, and that's an important point to bring up because we are here for the practitioners as well, you know, and we all try to support each other as much as we can. You know, when somebody needs help, we try to give a helping hand and just give them the support that they need, if that's a reading, if that's a healing, if that's, you know, a great conversation and letting them, you know, just get it out kind of thing, right? Is what people really need, you know, and I think society, especially after COVID, there's so many people in need of just having people to talk to, you know, and these people who are trained psychologists and stuff like that, like they're charging hundreds and hundreds of dollars, which people don't have, you know, to come in and just, you know, have a conversation and say, you know, I'm feeling this and I'm thinking this. And then there's such a distinction and you have to be careful with this line because between, you know, the mental health part and the psychic part, right? I mean, it can cross and blur lines, right? So you have to be
very
careful with that work, right? Yeah. And we try to be very conscientious about that. Yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
And
the ultimate. Sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was waiting for you.
I was going to say the ultimate goal is to empower the person, right? Just to empower them. Just to help remind them of how amazing they are and how, you know, everyone has gifts, every single person on different levels, but everybody has a gift and everybody has something to offer as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, people have to get over this part, which is that competitiveness or that the envy, or I call it, one of our mentors calls it spiritual envy, right? You know, where you want the gifts that somebody else has because you think it's so super. But we're here to do something. And until we embrace who we are and the gifts that we have, then we can't fully become that being which we were created to be. You know, not everybody mm-hmm. can be a healer. Not everybody can be a business person. You know, like you were designed to do certain things, and you know, whether you take that gauntlet up and how you take it up is going to determine the quality of your life. You know.
Well, 100%, and that brings up the frequency of authenticity, right? That's really what you're trying to get people to understand is as soon as their authenticity comes into play or as soon as they show that side, life completely changes. An example for me was when I fully came out of the closet. I mean, my tribe just came in so quickly, and the reception was so positive. And I thought to myself, wow, I should have done this many years ago.
A long time
but,
ago.
But, you know, it was exactly how it was supposed to be. But, you know, when people can really show their authentic side, their authenticity can be comfortable, you feel like you can breathe again. And that brings so much into your reality. So there truly is a powerful frequency behind authenticity.
Oh, yeah, that's your light. That's your, you know, when they talk about, you know, shining your light, you know, and be the light. When you tune into that frequency of authenticity and you beam that and you are that, then whatever is not for you won't even touch you. You know, and whatever is for you will be drawn to you, you know, like your tribe or your people or your demographic or the circumstances or, you know, whatever that is, right? But again, you know, they're really, you know, things happen and it doesn't mean that, you know, you'll never have anything which you consider bad happen to you, you know, like you could still get in a car accident, but it's all about how you perceive and how you handle that situation that determines your frequency, right?
Yes, 100%. Hey, Chris, can you talk about the aura machine that you have and the readings that you do with it?
Sure. So we have a aura cloud machine. So the machine works on curling photography and bioenergetic feedback. And what happens is people will put their hand on this pad and it's reading their emotional and energetic bodies. And when after it's done that, it will display everything in a 15-page report, which I email to them after. But I will go through the report with them. And what it does is it will measure your chakras. And it will tell you how healthy they are, if the energy within it is harmonious or disharmonious. It will tell you your masculine and feminine balance within your body. It will show if there's holes in your aura or any leaks. It will also tell you things like the frequency at which your emotional, your intuitive, your physical, and your mental bodies are at. And then it will go through and it will explain your birth, basic personality type of your energy, and it will tell you exactly what it's like. An example I can think of is like blue. So if you're like a blue personality, you tend to be very tranquil and calm and you don't like conflict. you're one of those people that can get easily hurt. In fact, it's the most sensitive of all of the colors, and they have trouble saying no. So they'll go through and tell you things like that. And then as well, it'll say things like, oh, you might have trouble enforcing boundaries, so you're going to want to put some of those up, right? So it kind of gives you hints of things to do and not to do. But overall, I use it more as a diagnostic tool a lot. So, you know, people will come in and they'll say, oh, like, I feel a little off. Can we just do an aura report and see where I'm at? And I'll run it and we'll see, for example, that their heart chakra is low and disharmonious. So they would have just gone through a breakup, or they don't know what their purpose is and they don't know why they're here and they're feeling depressed and anxious and stuff like that. Like, it will really show in the heart chakra. And then their root chakra, it'll show either low and disharmonious energy when you're either physically not well, like you have something like a disease, or, you know, ulcers, or, you know, stress, anxiety, all of those types of things will show. So then we'll talk about it, and then we'll come up with a plan to, you know, well, what kind of things can you do to help working on that? And then they'll come back and we'll measure it again. Yeah. So that's basically kind of what that is. And then we have the Ajna light, which you've experienced, which is new. So the Ajna light is this white LED light. People lay down and they go under it. And then it, when their eyes are closed, they see colors and patterns, or some people see, you know, depending on your gift, like for you being clairvoyant, you might see beings or angels or whatever, right, when you're under it. So I find that because I have a really busy mind, I get up and I feel so energized and I feel so light. Like, I just, yeah, it really helps my head. So, I mean, you can come and experience those types of things. And it can actually, I don't know if you know this, but Kumara, who operates it, went away for training, and you can actually tune it with the human design chart. So you can actually work on certain parts of your chart because you can tune the light to, yeah.
So, wow, yeah, that's really that cool. Right,
yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I found the light, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, of course, the sacred geometry and the colors that you see are so profound. I don't know how to describe it, but I definitely felt energized afterward.
Mm-hmm. Like really
completely
light.
Energized. Yes, really
like
light.
I didn't feel any heaviness in my body. Yeah,
yeah, emotionally, physically, yeah, mm-hmm. You just kind of feel reset. Yeah, that Ajna light is quite profound. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else on the children's side? You're doing another fair this year or next year?
I don't have a date yet, but we usually have one in the fall, so probably might be October, November, depending on the space here, where I'm waiting to hear about a few things. And then there is a rainbow meditation, I Am Rainbow Meditation, which one of the practitioners, Jade, has developed, which people can get. So if anybody's interested
in that. And that's for the kids?
It's for the children? Kids and the parents. So kids and the parents can do it together. And, you know, just so the parents are educated on what the, you know, these things are too, because lots of parents don't even know what chakras are or don't even know, you know, what's going on during the meditation. So it goes through all the seven chakras, and it actually, they meditate on each one. And it's developed by Jade, who is kind of like a, this is what she does, right? She's a healer.
Yeah.
And she actually teaches the chakras and does meditations with adults. So she's developed it so children can use it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The other thing is we've been in business for 5 years, so I am trying to develop something for our anniversary. So we'll probably have a weekend coming up shortly where we'll probably offer specials and discounts and things like that to our clients who have been, you know, long-time customers like yourself. who can come in and enjoy services or products, because we carry a lot of products here too. I really encourage people who are local artisans to supply stuff here at the shop. I know you've bought quite a few things from here, like the beeswax candles and the art. There's local artists. There's people who have jewelry, you know, like a lot of the necklaces and bracelets and things like that, right?
Everything, oh yeah, and that's what I love about your business is everything you carry is a local business, mm-hmm. from a local business. You know, we all need to support each other, especially the small mm-hmm. businesses. So one thing I wanted to mention that I really thought was really funny is the first time you did the children's metaphysical magical fair, it was so fun to be a part of it. You know, it was we all volunteered, right, to come in and do it. It was so fun. And it was funny because the parents seemed to have just as much fun as the kids. Yeah, it was so great. And they even approached you and asked you if you would have an adult fair. So do you have any plans to do an adult fair?
Well, we do the Gypsy Carnival, which was kind of like that, but the parents didn't get to play other than getting, you know, readings of all different types, right? So we did that for the parents. I would love to do it. We just would have to have the right feedback and the right clientele to be able to do that. So, you know, it's in the works probably, but haven't got that far. Too many other things so far on my plate. But this is why I say it's important for the parents as well as the kids, because the parents were learning as well. So, like, we had somebody there doing the tapping, right, the EFT, right? And the parents were all fascinated by it, and they had never seen it, right? So the parents were learning alongside of the children. So if the parents are learning alongside of the children, then they can support that ongoing when they go home, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah, these are some things. But thank you for mentioning that, and I'll put that on the docket and have that follow-up.
On your long list of to-dos,
I had the same thing happen when I had the princess teas. You know, like we did an afternoon tea here with the Disney princesses with the Enchanted Princess Party. They came in and had tea and entertain the kids, and they had, you know, like little sandwiches and treats like they do for an afternoon tea for adults, and they sang songs with them and read stories and, you know, sat and had tea with them, and the parents are all like, can we do this too as adults? this just goes to show that parents, like, they want to play. They've forgotten how until, you know, you hold an event where they can actually be themselves and let that little inner child out, you know? It's fun to watch. It's really, really fun to watch. So, you know, like, I think one of the other interesting things, and I don't know if you can speak to this, but there are so many people that I notice that don't have children, you know, that come. And whether that's a conscious choice or not a conscious choice, or it is just the evolution of, you know, people. I really wonder about that, because I think about, you know, all the people here. I think there's only a couple people that work here that are associated with here that have kids, you know? So I think it's because they needed to do the work. You know what I mean? Like, it would be hard to do the work when you have kids. Like, I didn't do any of this when I had kids, right?
Yeah. I mean, I you know, I don't have any kids, right? And, you know, I could have a long list of reasons why I don't have children. It doesn't mean that I never wanted to have a child. It just didn't present itself when it did. And I suppose any woman could have a child at any time. They don't necessarily have to be married or in a healthy relationship. But that was definitely my thing. If I wasn't in a healthy relationship, I wasn't going to have a child. And You know, I don't know. I mean, I know when women are pregnant, they are downloading machines. It's incredible, the information that they gain when that little beautiful being so connected to source is growing inside them. And even when they're breastfeeding, even after the baby is born. I mean, so, I think, you know, having a child can open your gifts. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't really relate because I don't have children, but I think it was more, you know, there was a time where I just didn't want to have children. I was a professional skydiver for 30 years, and so that wasn't really a job that, you know, lent to having children, right?
But I'm wondering, in my personal opinion. Yeah, I think that there's so many people because we as a species needed people to do the work, you know, in order to help shift things. And I don't think that a lot of us would have been able to do it if we were having children. That's kind of the direction I was going because I know for myself I was so busy taking care of the kids and the house and everything else, and there was no time for me, right, hardly at all. I'm wondering if, you know, I'm just posing the question because there's so many, you know, and I'm thinking, well, is that why – you know, did that have to happen so that people could do the work to help shift?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I believe whatever you've chosen in your life was meant to be. I do believe I wasn't meant to have children. I love kids. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But I don't.
Oh, I know you do.
I don't believe I was meant to have children. Yeah, I feel, you know, it was definitely divine in this life. But I think there are so many other reasons as well, especially reincarnating back into this third density to be with your children after you leave, right? That's people who want to be tied here a little longer may have children so they can do that too. There could be a whole plethora of reasons and even some reasons that we can't even fathom that we'll never really know. It's synchronicity of lifetime between lifetime, right? Yeah.
Well, we all come in with a purpose and a plan, so
true. And being authentic or being allowed to let that or feeling allowed to let that authenticity show will definitely lead you in the direction that you were meant to go. So that's another thing about that frequency of authenticity.
It's really wonderful when I see parents like our friend Allie who, you know, like consciously got pregnant. She consciously wanted twins. She, you know, took care of her body, did everything, and the way that she's, you know, raising her kids and teaching them. And I was there the other day, and just the fact that the child, like I could actually communicate with the child without even saying a word. You know, like I walked in and I had some stuff, and she's like, those are for us. And I'm like, yeah, those are for you, but you can't have them until you finish your dinner. But it was a whole conversation in our head, right? It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like spoken words. So, I mean, it just goes to show when, you know, the parent is conscious and they're dealing with the child in a conscious manner and allowing them to develop the way they're meant to, that, you know, they just blossom and it's so wonderful.
It is wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, we are running out of time here.
Okay.
So you just have one more minute here to talk, if you just a little bit of promotion for Clarity for yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kelly, again, for having me on the show. I would just encourage anybody who, you know, needs a little safe space to come in or, you know, some place to heal or just be heard or, you know, is looking for direction, all of those types of things, just come in and see us and we'll, you know, try to direct you to the right place. If we don't have the right practitioner for you, we do know all kinds of people, but we have, you know, every type of reading pretty much here. many different healing modalities. And to the front of the shop, we have the tea shop. If you just want tea, you can come in and book an afternoon tea and just sit and have tea. So, yeah, we look forward to seeing you. And we thank you all for being on the show today and having Kelly have us here.
Yes, yes, and thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. And just on my end, so all of the information for Clarity will be on the News for the Soul website on my page. And and I have some sound healing courses that are starting on September 24th. There is still room. And you'll find my information on that website as well. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Nicole. And we'll see you all next month. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.